Chapter 17. Godfrey's Secret. After a few weeks of investigating the case, Sergeant Cuff came to see Franklin Blake. He began by explaining what had happened on the night of Ablewhite's death.
"Godfrey Ablewhite was suffocated with the pillow," he said. "The wooden box had contained the moonstone, and the three Indians were involved in the crime. They entered the room through the window. It seems that Mr. Ablewhite lived two different lives. One was that of the gentleman we all knew, who spoke beautifully at many ladies' charity events. At the time of his death, however, I discovered that he needed a lot of money. This was because Ablewhite had a secret problem. He was a gambler. Over the past 3 years, Ablewhite had gambled and lost more than £20,000. His creditors were putting pressure on him to repay his debts. Godfrey Ablewhite was, therefore, a desperate man. On the night of Rachel's birthday dinner last year, Mr. Candy told Mr. Ablewhite about his plan to give you the opium. He gave the opium to Mr. Ablewhite to give to you before he left. Mr. Ablewhite put it in your brandy and water when he brought it upstairs to you. Mr. Looker told me that the next day Mr. Ablewhite arrived at his office with the moonstone. Mr. Looker was surprised because he had never seen such a huge diamond. Mr. Looker weighed the diamond and said that he thought it was worth £30,000. He asked Mr. Ablewhite how he came to have the diamond in his possession. Mr. Ablewhite told him. On the night of the birthday party, you and Mr. Ablewhite were given rooms next to one another, with a door between them. Mr. Ablewhite was unable to fall asleep because of his money problems. He heard you get up, and so he looked into your room. He could see from your eyes that you were under the influence of the opium. You left your bedroom, and he decided to follow you. He saw you enter Rachel's sitting room, and then come out, holding the diamond. Mr. Ablewhite followed you back into your room, where you gave him the jewel, saying, 'Take it to your father's bank, Godfrey. It will be safe there.' In the morning, you remembered nothing about what had happened during the night. Mr. Ablewhite knew that the moonstone could help him repay the money he owed. He put the diamond in his pocket and travelled to London to ask Mr. Looker to give him some money for it, to keep his creditors happy. The moneylender said that he would give him £2,000. If he gave Mr. Looker £3,000 within a year, he would get the diamond back. Now I understand why Mr. Ablewhite agreed to break his engagement to Rachel," said Blake. "She was not able to help Mr. Ablewhite with his debt. She was not allowed to sell her houses because of what her mother had written in her will." "Correct," said Cuff. "Now, as you know, Mr. Ablewhite had many elderly female admirers from his appearances at charity events. Last month, one of them died, leaving him £30,000 in her will. Mr. Ablewhite was therefore able to repay Mr. Looker, and perhaps he would have returned the moonstone to Miss Verinder. Instead, he was murdered. The day after Ablewhite's murder, I asked a detective to find the three Indians. The detective eventually discovered that they had left on a ship going to Bombay. I sent a message to the police in Bombay so that they could board the ship the moment it arrived. However, near the end of the ship's journey, calm weather conditions and no wind made it impossible to sail for 3 days and three nights. Some of the passengers took small boats and rowed about in the water, and the smallest boat went missing. The three Indians disappeared as well.